The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived amongst us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He comes after me, ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It probably won't be any surprise to any of you if I told you that as a child I was full of energy. My brother and I have very similar personalities, and people always thought that my mother had her hands full because we were into everything. We played everything, we were into music, we were into sports. The neighbors used to joke that Jim and I were the president and vice president of the block. We knew everybody's business, that wasn't always a good thing, but we enjoyed life as children for sure. However, there was one thing when I was little that would bring me to my knees. I was afraid of the dark. I mean, petrified of the dark. I can remember leaving our house at night and going to a neighbor's house, maybe a couple of doors away. And back then, everybody had a porch light on or had a yard lamp in their front yard. And I was scared to death of the dark. So I would get to the edge of the light where my house was, and I would look in between the two houses, which seemed like the Grand Canyon of darkness. And I knew people were probably lurking in that darkness. And I would stand and I would look and I would get up all the energy I could. And I would run as hard as I could to the next porch light. Then I would relax. And then I would get to the edge of the light. And I would get up, look in between, I would get up all the energy I could and run like crazy through the darkness, which might have been 15 feet, right? So I was in the next light. My brother used to terrorize me in the dark. I would never walk into a room that didn't have lights on. So I would walk to the doorway, put my hand around the corner, here's the wall, and I would flip the switch before I walked in. That's not uncommon, right? My brother, sometimes knowing where little Johnny was going to be going, I would put my hand on the switch and his hand would be on top of my hand. Yeah, you think it's funny? It was horrible. It terrified me. I mean, he did that all the time. My parents would sometimes come home from a church meeting or a bridge or whatever, and I would be the only one at the house. And I'm a little embarrassed to say this was even in junior high, and every light in the house would be on. Every light, all the bedrooms, all the bathrooms, the kitchen, the living room, the family room. And my mother would say, John, do you need every light in the house? Absolutely, I needed it. What is it about darkness for children? But even as adults, darkness can be a little foreboding. It's a little bit of a turnoff in some ways. There have been some books recently written, couldn't get that out, that have helped to debunk that a bit. Barbara Brown Taylor, who many of you know, is a priest in the Episcopal Church, wonderful preacher, wonderful author. She has a book called Learning to Walk in the Dark. And there's another great book from Darkness to Daylight by Sister Joan Chittister, who's a Catholic nun. Both incredible women who are incredible spiritual writers, and they try to get us to embrace darkness in not such a negative way, but maybe in a bit more positive way, because good things can actually happen in darkness. Do you know the word darkness appears 162 times in the Bible? Thank you, Google. 162 times. And it's not always bad. There are good things that happen at night. The angel appeared to Zechariah and told Zechariah that he and Elizabeth would have a child named John at night, in a dream, in the dark. The angel Gabriel appeared to Mary and said, you're going to be with child at night, in the dark. The angels appeared to the shepherds in the field at night, in the dark. Jesus was born at night in the dark. Joseph had a dream after Jesus' birth that said, take the mother and the child and flee because Herod is going to kill infants. Jesus was crucified on the cross and darkness covered the earth. 3 days later, Jesus was in a tomb with the stone still rolled in place in a dark tomb, and resurrection took place. Things that happen in the dark are not always bad. But it's important for us as followers of Jesus in today's world to realize that Jesus came into this world to be light, to be the light of the world. I told you that darkness was 162 times in the Bible. Do you have any idea how many times they talk about light? Over 300. Light is talked about over 300 times in Scripture. And I actually looked up a few that I thought might be meaningful and help us to understand what the whole reason for this season is. And it's the birth of Jesus, the light of the world. Listen to these examples from Scripture that talk about light. From Isaiah, the people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine upon them. From 2 Corinthians, for God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. From 1 Peter, you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim his excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into marvelous light. from Ephesians. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as a child of the light. From John, then Jesus again spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. From Mark, for nothing is hidden except to be revealed, nor has anything been in secret that will not come to light. From Luke, accordingly, whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in the inner rooms will be proclaimed upon the housetops. And finally, again from the Gospel of John, one verse that we just heard in this gospel happens to be my favorite, literally my favorite piece of scripture in all of the Bible. Verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I would like to tell you four stories. Don't worry, they're short. Two of them are personal stories, and two of them I read in an article. The first two are the article stories, and I think I read it about 10 years ago, and it was an article written about Christmas light. This is the first story. There was a man who moved into a subdivision in a town. His family, they were new to the area, and he lived at the end of the street. And they moved in before Christmas, and the whole subdivision decorated for Christmas, and it was beautiful. After Christmas, just about everybody took their Christmas lights down, but there was, as he pulled in the subdivision, there was one house who still had their Christmas lights up. And the man thought to himself, well, wow, surely they're going to be taking those down soon. A couple of weeks went by and the lights were not only still up but turned on every night. By the end of January, the man who was writing the article said, I started becoming a little irritated. Are they just lazy? What's the problem? Take your Christmas lights down. And he saw that every night when he would come home. It was winter time, so it was dark. And then at the beginning of February, there was another house that Christmas lights were back up and turned on. The man thought, well, this is getting a little strange. A couple days later, there were a couple of more houses on his street that had Christmas lights back up and turned on at night. A couple days later, there were a couple of more houses with Christmas lights put back on and turned on at night. And when his neighbor was putting on Christmas lights, he finally was bold enough to ask, what am I missing? I know I'm new. I'm new to town. I'm new to the neighborhood. Why is everybody putting up Christmas lights? It's mid-February. And his neighbor said, well, that house down at the very beginning of the street when you turn the corner that never took them down, this was back in the early 90s. He said both of their boys were employed in the Gulf War. Their oldest son was killed in the war, and their youngest son is coming home in 2 weeks. Word had gotten out to all the neighbors that their youngest son, who had survived, was on his way home. And that was their way of supporting this family. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The second story, different town, different neighborhood. There was a young family, the mother and father had 3 young children, and she had been diagnosed with breast cancer. And all of the neighbors knew about it. And 2 weeks before her first chemo treatment, they all made the decision that one day at a time, each family would put a candle in their window. And on that day, would write a note and put it under the door of the family. So 14 days out, there was one house on that block with a candle. 13 days out, there were 2 houses with a candle. 12 days out, there were 3 candles and 3 houses, and so on. So by the time the 2 weeks was ended and chemo was ready to start for her for the first time, there were 14 houses on her block with a candle in the window. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And now 2 personal stories. 2.5 years ago, was when I made my famous jump across the river from Rome to Canterbury. as all of you know. May 21st, 2016. It's an incredible weekend. That morning, the bishop was there. Canon Shannon Manning was the preacher. 30 family and friends in from out of town. And that evening, I was in a terrible car accident. I was sitting in a back seat, riding with friends from Memphis who had traveled to the event. I was going to be saying Eucharist and preaching in the Episcopal Church for the first time the next morning. And we were T-boned by somebody headed back to downtown Baton Rouge. And I ended up in critical care in Our Lady Lake Hospital for a week. And one of my best friends next to me did not survive the accident. On a weekend that was filled with light was one of the darkest times of my life. The daughter of my friend that did not survive became pregnant. 3 months later, I had performed her wedding just a few years before for her and her husband. And when she gave birth to their lovely daughter, her name was Aviana Jem Price. Jem was like the stone Jem, G-E-M, which stood for her father, George E. Mabin. In the midst of death, there is always life. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Just yesterday, I was sitting having lunch with my cousin in Pennsylvania, where I spent the Christmas holidays with my relatives. And my cousin told a story out of the blue that I told her, wow, you just now gave me my fourth story. She's a therapist, and 40 years ago, she befriended a small girl in her neighborhood who was very poor and never dressed very nicely, always dirty, but a precious child. And my cousin did not have much money and went and bought her a very nice dress and for her birthday and put it in a package and tied a big bow around it and gave it to her. And that little girl wore that dress almost every day, even out in the yard to play. Just last week, 40 years later, that woman found my cousin and said, I've been looking for you for 40 years. You were my light as a child, because she had a terrible childhood. And I looked at my cousin and I said, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I could stand here all day telling you stories of light, but we don't have time. I could tell you about Ian, a young boy from Baton Rouge, 7 years old, who just had brain surgery for brain cancer, who's at St. Jude's right now in Memphis in a brand new therapy, struggling, but he's alive and his mother is holding on to that verse, the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. I could tell you about friends who are in bad relationships, marriages that aren't going well for whatever reason, and they're holding on to that light. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I could tell you stories about people that are struggling financially or struggling spiritually, and they're holding on to the light. Every single person sitting here this morning can relate to one story that I've told. Maybe you can relate to all of them. Maybe you can come up with some on your own. Whether it's an illness or a death in the family or financial struggles, we all have darkness from time to time in our lives. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Why? Because it can't. It is impossible. Fear and hate will never overtake love, and darkness will never overtake light. Never. I don't know what you're going through in your life. I don't know what you've been through recently. I don't know what lies ahead of you, and you don't know what's in my life. But I do know this. Whatever is going on in your life, you hold on to that scripture line, John 1, verse 5, and don't let go of it ever. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Thanks be to God for that. Amen.
Please stand as we affirm our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed found on page 358. We believe in one God,